محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. Continue inshallah tonight. Recitation of aspects or parts, hadith from the book of Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, written by Imam al-Tirmidhi, authored by Imam al-Tirmidhi rahmatullah alayhi radiyallahu anhu. And we're not going to read all of the hadith of this book, but I'm going to choose from every chapter, maybe one or two hadith, and share them with you. Inshallah, you'll find benefit, something to remind you, remind us of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, teach us more about him, and allow our hearts, inshallah, to be in full connection with him alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's the purpose of doing this, obviously. So inshallah, you'll find it to be beneficial. The first chapter we've covered maybe six or seven ahadith. It was the chapter of the wasf of the appearance of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, how people, and I wasn't as interested in the details, but rather their perception of how they felt when they saw him alayhi salatu wasalam, which was always, they always put in words in ways that was very sentimental. And that's more I think, more beneficial for us than details of it. The second chapter is Babu ma ja'a fi khatam an-nubuwwah, the prophetic seal. And this is something the Prophet ﷺ had right between his shoulders on his back. And it's something that all prophets had. And it was something that the scholars of any faith would know if someone was a prophet or not from it. And the Prophet ﷺ had that. And this is something that maybe in Mecca was not as apparent, because Al-Arab and Quraysh were not accustomed to this or not aware of it. But when he went to Medina alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was surrounded by people who had ilm in Ahl al-Kitab, this became a very apparent aspect of his presence. And people were, you know, they would ask about this and they would look for it. And the hadith that I'm going to share with you is hadith number 21. And it goes like this. حدثنا أبو عمار الحسين بن حريث الخزاعي حدثنا علي بن حسين بن واقد حدثني أبي قال حدثني عبد الله بن بريدة قال سمعت أبي بريدة يقول جاء سلمان الفارسي رضي الله عنه إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم حين قدم المدينة. So the hadith is in the Shama'il, and it has a reasonable chain of narration, so it's not a weak hadith. And it's narrated to us by Burayda. He's Burayda ibn al-Husayb, radiallahu anhu, and he's one of the Sahaba. And he tells us that Salman al-Farisi. Now, Salman is a very interesting character, and he's someone worth, everyone should know the story of Salman at some point in their lives and listen to it in depth and kind of really reflect upon it, because it's very strong, it's very powerful. And Salman was someone who's basically spent his whole life in the pursuit of haqq, in the pursuit of truth. And this took him over this long journey from Persia all around the Iraq and Syria and Urdun and Lebanon to today in Palestine, making his way back down to Medina. And he was quite an older, he was older than people around him, radiallahu anhu, because he had spent so much time doing this. And he lived well beyond the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's years. And he was a very old man when he passed away, radiallahu anhu. And he was someone the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would confide in and take the advice of, and he was a leader amongst the Sahaba. But because he wasn't a part of the country, and he didn't speak Arabic as everyone else did, he always ended up taking for himself a little bit of a backseat when it came to leadership positions. And he was also a very known Zahid, radiallahu anhu. But his story is worthy of sharing, and he tells us, and this is just a little bit of introduction before I go read the hadith. He had been sold off as a slave in Medina, in Yathrib. And to him, this was the disaster of his life, because he was trying to pursue, he was in pursuit of the prophet of the end of time, and he was going around the area where the prophets are usually sent, which is the Ard al-Muqaddasa wa ma hawlaha. So Palestine, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, that's where he is. And he's moving around from one scholar of Christianity to another one. Those who still have Tawheed, at least in them, he's holding on to that to the best of his ability. And then in the midst of him doing all of this, he is snatched by a couple of Arab hooligans. And then he's taken down to the middle of nowhere in the desert. And he's sold off to a person in a city he's never heard of before. So he is extremely depressed. But then on his way in, he sees a couple of things that he was told about by some of his teachers. Some of his teachers told him that the prophet of the end of time will be sent in a land that is filled with dates. So he's being taken in shackles, and he looks around, and all he sees is dates. And then he's going to be sent within an area that has two mountains, two black mountains surrounding it. And in the wording was mountains, that's what he understood. But then when he went back, it's not necessarily mountains, it was this land. And if you go to till this day, if you go to the Medina, there is the Harratan, the Harra. The Harra is basically volcanic rock. I had it, my father had a friend He was a nice Saudi man, married to a Turkish lady. And he used to come in Medina sometimes, and he would take us out. He had a ranch, and he used to show us the Harra. I've been to it myself, and I've seen how deep the holes are between the rocks. It's impossible for anything to move on this. No tanks or human-made facility, transportation can move on this land. It's dead. There's nothing in it. And it's just very weird. It's just very dark black on both sides of Medina. So he's being wheeled into Yathrib, shackled, and he's seeing the two things that he heard from his teacher. He's like, is this the land? Am I being brought against my will to where the Prophet alayhi salam is going to be? And so this is in the back of his mind. We should make it a little bit easier for him. But then years go by and nothing happens. Years go by and nothing, and then he hears about the Prophet alayhi salam in Mecca. And he's like, well, anyways, and then he hears that the Prophet alayhi salam is coming to Medina. And at that point, he is almost fully sold, because he has all the points, but he had still one more sign that he needed. He needed this last sign, because his teacher gave him a couple of signs. His teacher gave him a couple of signs, and he had seen them in Yathrib up to that moment, but there was still one that he didn't. And this is what the story that I'm going to share with you is. فَقَالَ جَاءَ سَلْمَانُ الْفَارِسِي إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ حِينَ قَدِمَ الْمَدِينَةَ بِمَائِدَةٍ عَلَيْهَا رُطَبٌ فَوَضَعَهَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ يَا سَلْمَانُ مَا هَذَا. Sulman came to the Prophet ﷺ with a bowl or a ma'ida with rutab, the best type of tamr, and he put it in front of the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet said, "Ya Sulman, ma hada? So what is this?" Well, it's obviously dates, but that's not what he's asking. فَقَالَ سَلْمَانُ صَدَقَةٌ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى أَصْحَابِكَ. It's an act of charity for you and your companions. It's a sadaqa. فَقَالَ إِرْفَعْهَا فَإِنَّا لَا نَأْكُلُ الصَّدَقَةِ. Take it from in front of me, put it in front of the others. We don't eat sadaqah. قَالَ فَرَفَعَهَا. So Salman picked it up and put it elsewhere. So Salman said, okay, number one. He has a few more signs he has to confirm. That's one. Another sign his teacher told him is that the Prophet does not eat sadaqah. He doesn't accept charity for himself. فَجَاءَ الْغَدَى بِمِثْلِهِ فوضعه بين يدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال ما هذا يا سلمان. And the next day, Salman brought the same thing, a bowl with rutab. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام asked the same question, what is this يا سلمان؟ فقال سلمان هدية لك. It's a gift to you. فقال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لأصحابه أبسطوا. And you put your hand out and eat. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام begins to eat. So Salman to him, okay, it's number two. He accepts hadiyah. This is what his teacher has told him. So the two black mountains on the side, full of dates, he doesn't eat sadaqah, he'll take hadiyah. It's all adding up. He just needs one more thing, right? One more thing. He had been told about this seal on the back of, between the two shoulder blades of this man. There'll be a little mole, small hairs coming together, forming something that looks like a hajala, like a zir, like a button. Something very small. So Salman is standing there with the Prophet alayhi sallam eating, and he's like, trying to angle himself to see if maybe the Prophet ﷺ goes down, he can see something. So the Prophet ﷺ knew. فَقَالَ قَالَ ثُمَّ نَظَرَ إِلَى الْخَاتَمِ عَلَى ظَهْرِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And he looked at the seal, at the khatam, the ring, or the small mole that exists on the back of the Prophet, because the Prophet ﷺ saw Salman angling himself all these weird ways. فَقَالَ تَعَالَ, don't waste my time. So he pulls it back and he says, "Take, I know what you want, see it." So he looked at it. يَقُولُ فَنَظْرَ إِلَيْهِ. Salman looked at the khatam. فَآمَنَ بِهِ, and he believed in him. وكان لليهود فاشتراه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بكذا وكذا درهما على أن يغرس لهم نخلا فيعمل سلمان فيه حتى تطعم. So Salman was owned by one of the people of Ahl Kitab, one of the Jewish tribes within the Medina. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, when he accepted Islam, when Salman announced his Islam and said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام bought him, he gathered money from the Sahaba, he took a loan out and he bought him out. But there was a deal that we're going to buy you out, and you're going to work within it. We're going to make an orchard for you, and you're going to work in it until the date trees within that orchard are able to give, and then that's the deal. Like this money, he doesn't have it alayhi salam himself. He's going to take a loan. The agreement is you're going to work in this orchard to pay off whatever it is that you owe people, because it wasn't for almost nothing's for free. So that was the deal. So Salman accepted. يقول فغرس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم نخلة. illa nakhlatan wahidatan gharasaha Umar radiyallahu anhu. So the trees that Salman was going to be catering to and serving within this orchard, the Prophet himself planted them in the ground for him as a sign of barakah. He told him, this was the agreement I was able to get you out of slavery, so I'm going to personally plant these nakhil for you in the ground. So he put them all in except one. Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab put it in himself. يقول فحملت النخل من عامها ولم تحمل نخلة. And all of the nakhl that year was fruitful except one nakhla was not. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما شأن هذه. The Prophet came and saw all of the fruit. فقال, what's wrong with this one? فقال عمر يا رسول الله أنا غرستها. This is the one that I put in. قال فنزعها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فغرسها فحملت من عامها. And the Prophet would pull it out and then put it back into his own hand, alayhi salatu wasalam, and it became fruitful. And once it was fruitful, that was the agreement. Usually this takes years. Usually this takes, you put a nakhl and it takes years before they show fruit. The agreement is once they're fruitful, Salman has paid his debt. And within the year, Salman has paid his debt off. And he was able to move on from the barakah of the hand of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the khatam of nubuwah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's the only hadith I'll share with you regarding that. يروي الإمام الترمذي في جامعه بسند الحسن عن بريدة قال جاء سلمان الفارسي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حين قدم المدينة بمائدة عليها رطب فوضعها بين يدي النبي فقال يا سلمان ما هذا فقال صدقة عليك وعلى أصحابك فقال ارفعها فإنا لا نأكل الصدقة قال فرفعها فجاء الغد بمثله فوضعه بين يدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال ما هذا يا سلمان فقال هدية لك فقال رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام لأصحابه أبسطوا ثم نظر إلى الخاتم على ظهر رسول الله فآمن به وكان سلمان لليهود فاشتراه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بكذا وكذا درهما على أن يغرس لهم نخلا فيعمل سلمان فيه حتى تطعم فغرس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم النخل إلا نخلة واحدة غرسها عمر فحملت النخل من عامها ولم تحمل نخلة فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام ما شأن هذه فقال عمر يا رسول الله أنا غرستها فنزعها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فغرسها فحملت من عامها صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بحمدك شكرا لا إله إلا أنت صلى الله عليه وسلم وبارك وعظم على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد.